When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're all getting ready for Sunday. And the Commanders and the Eagles. Did you hear what Cliff Kingsbury had to say today about game number one?
I did indeed. I actually thought I really liked this.
Kingsbury blamed himself for the loss. Did not like the game he called. Didn't like how much he tried to cram into the couple days that they had to prepare before a Thursday night football game. This was Cliffy today at the mic.
Yeah, I think the ability to learn from what we did the first time we played them on a short week. I mentioned this before, but I had way too much in, and I felt like we played tentative. I didn't call a very good game. So now to have the full week process and just see how they played this first time, try to make the proper adjustments, and then see how far we've come since then. I think that's going to be the exciting part. But they've done a tremendous job, Coach Fangio, defensively. I mean, the improvements they made from last year and just watching them week to week, critical moments, the way they're playing. It's been impressive to see the job he's done. It'll be a huge challenge, but I think we're a different team. They're a different team, and hopefully we can play at a lot higher level than we did the first time.
That might have been Washington's worst offensive game of the year. It was probably Daniel's worst performance. They went 3 of 12 on third down. They averaged 4.2 yards a play, barely had over 260 net yards in the game. They threw for 170 net, and that was with a bunch of garbage time, moving the football at the end of the game. They didn't really get over 100 yards until the last couple of drives. If you remember, they had a 70-yard drive with 30 seconds left where Zach Ertz caught a touchdown when they were down 26-10. How much of the problem do you think Cliff Kingsbury's right about, that maybe they just overdid it in their prep on a short week and was the plan and the play calling?
So good for him for owning that. To me, the problem wasn't, well, I'll take one part of it. The plan was an issue. And here's what I mean. That was the last time as we're sitting there going, please don't just line up Terry McLaurin in one spot. Because when you did that, you didn't throw to him at all. And when you don't throw to him at all, the offense stinks and the offense stunk. So since then, he's been in the slot. He's been on the right side. He's been in motion. All the things that everyone complained about the Cliff and whatever, valid things, by the way, adjustments have been made since. Now I get excited. So your initial plan was, yeah, let's just leave him on this really good cornerback who has played excellently. And there were no targets pretty much until the end of the game. So
officially,
I care about that.
Yeah, the numbers were 2 targets, 1 catch, 10 yards. And his first target came, I believe, just before halftime. And his only other one came midway through the third quarter, if I remember.
And that's kind of my point here. So in that regard, yes, I agree with you that the plan wasn't particularly great. I think there's a lot of things. Philadelphia's defense is awesome. They really are. We didn't know it how good they were then, but they've turned out a lot of work since then that's among the best in the sport.
But he's not saying, I don't think, Danny, I didn't get the ball to Terry McLaurin enough. He's saying, I think I put too much in the few days that we had. Like he's doing when you sit down for your job interview and you go, what's your worst attribute? And you go,
I care too much.
I'm just too honest. I just try too hard. Like he's doing I really overworked in those couple of days. And I'm not trying to say he's patting himself on the back. I actually love that he's kind of taking blame.
He's taking a make-up.
He's
I love
taking
that.
It off Jaden's shoulders and the offense's shoulders, and he's going, yeah, I screwed us up that day. I don't know that I completely buy that. That the problem was that they had too many plays that they liked. You know, that sounds great. I think that game, they got shoved on by a really good defense. And we talked yesterday about Daniel's health. He did not look right in that game. He did not play very well. But to your point, the lack of involvement of Terry McLaurin, the lack of involvement for Noah Brown, 1 catch, 4 yards. Some of this was that Daniels was off, but a lot of it was they couldn't sustain any drives. They couldn't stay on the field. They converted just 3 third downs out of 12, as I mentioned. Like, you're not, no one's going to get the ball.
Right.
Because you're punting constantly. It was the opposite of what most of this year has been like, where they never punted. These were how long their drives were in terms of plays. 3 plays, 4 plays, 3 plays, 3 plays. 9 plays, 37 yards punt, by the way, with a 10-yard penalty. So a net of 27 yards on 9 plays.
Hard to do.
I don't even know how that is possible. I'd have to go back and watch that. 4 plays, 8 plays, 5 plays. They couldn't stay on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So no kidding Terry didn't get the ball. Nobody did.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Robinson and Jaden Daniels. That's about it.
The only guy that did was Austin Eckler in the receiving game,
and
he was good. And they don't have him this go around. So yeah, I mean, the specifics of his, hey, this is where I messed up, that's fine, and I appreciate him doing that. I'm on the same side, but in totality, no, I don't necessarily buy it. But again, I like that the head coach is doing that instead of saying, yeah, you know, Jaden didn't really do that great of a job, and he was getting wrapped on the sideline with whatever that was around his midsection, but we're not going to say what it was, and he's just staying warm or something. Yeah, the offense wasn't good in that game. And again, Philadelphia deserves a lot of credit because they are excellent on that side of the football, but it's got to be different this time. And I'm hoping that with some of the changes and the adjustments and now his willingness to not just say, Terry on the left and we'll figure out whatever else, he's moving around. That gives me some hope that they understand if you've got 10 plays, it can't just be, well, we don't get enough plays, we can't get Terry the ball. No, 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 no. Included early, then you get more plays. And if you don't, at least you went down getting the ball to Terry McLaurin. And that's my hope now, is that there's an adjustment there. Because since then, McLaurin's productivity has continued to shine.
The Eagles defensively, by the way, since their bye week, which, you know, it's one thing to say that 3 weeks after the bye week. That's now a couple of months ago, right? They've played double-digit games basically since then. They're the best defense in the league, but you don't even need that qualifier anymore. Because it's been so many games, they're now the number one defense in the NFL on the season, period. 4.7 yards per play. They're number 9 against the run. They're number 1 against the pass. They are number 7 at getting to the quarterback and getting sacks. If you remember, that was what they did in the first game. I mean, they made Jaden Daniels uncomfortable. They got home. They moved him off his mark. They kept him in the pocket, though. Most teams that have rushed Jaden Daniels well haven't gotten home, and he's basically escaped out the back door. It's like you're doing a breaking and entering, coming in the front door, and Jaden Daniels goes, well, see you later.
Thanks.
And he dips out into the backyard, and he runs through the woods. The Eagles were able to keep him in the pocket while they were breaking into the pocket and stealing everything from Washington, which most teams hadn't been able to do. They're number one at avoiding giving up first downs. We saw that, as we talked about. You're not sustaining your drives. I mean, they've just been awesome at everything. They're number 2 on third down. They are number 4 in the red zone. They are number 3 in the NFL in scoring and number 1 in yard differential. So they're just in a really, really good place defensively. It's going to be a very tall task, and I am very excited to see how this offense handles it. Because in some of their games, against the best defenses they've played, it has been a scuffle. And we said in the second half of the season, this would be coming. When you played Pittsburgh, when you played Philly, it's going to look a little different. And it certainly has. But they have not really had that epic, virtuoso, great defense, and you overcame and you lit them up performance. And I'm hoping that this is that for Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, and Washington's offense.
Well, this would go so far to doing so many different things. Number one, to that point, you beat the good team. How about a team that's ripped off 10 straight wins and is a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, instead of your best win being against 7-7 Arizona, now your best win is against the number one team in the NFC.
You thrived against a great defense. If they're able to play their A game against a really, really bona fide, excellent opponent, that's going to go a long way to validating some of this stuff. Because so far, again, I'm very pleased, as every fan should be. You should be happy. You should be thrilled. Big picture. This particular season, though, this little sliver we're looking at, we're just looking through a microphone glass at this little tiny season, you go, yeah, they're probably not ready to beat some of the good teams yet, or even the great teams yet. They could beat some bad teams. You do that, you go to the postseason. A few teams are going to do that this year. But how awesome would this be for a narrative change, right?